Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Today is going to be a bit different. I do not have a guest scheduled, so our telephone lines are open to you, the listening audience, for the entire hour. I'll be sharing different things with you during this hour, but if you'd like to call up and chat with me, 877-876-5227 is the telephone number. That's 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, the telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And also, telephone number 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. I wanted to, and by the way, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. That's all. I don't care where you're calling from. I don't want anything else from you. I don't need your birthday. And then when you call in, when I get that information from you, of course, I'd love to know where you're calling from. After that, let me do my mental impression. And then you can ask me any question you would like to ask. How does that sound? Simple enough. For the entire hour today, the lines are open. You can call in at any time. I wanted to start off the show with a little bit of a discussion and a sharing with you about self-confidence. And this really was something that I felt was important. And I go through preparation every day for programs. I'm reviewing material. And I'm always interested in people's experiences because it's through other people's stories that we're inspired, we're motivated. Sometimes we can become discouraged or disheartened by them. But more often than not, I find that most of the material that I end up reviewing and discussing with you on the air via the authors or even our own interactions on air, there's always a point of turnaround. And frequently, many experiences we have in life that we consider negative have to do with self-confidence, with self-esteem. And I think almost all of you listening would probably agree with that. You'd say, oh boy, I can recall that. I remember this, thus, that, or so. It's amazing how our memory banks open up. And I have had more than one conversation with people today during the business hours prior to the show. And I was so aware of the stories that they were telling me. One was a man who considered himself a total atheist, a man that really had what he called an attitude. His ego was monstrous. It was just huge. And when I say ego, I'm not talking, I think more the egotistical side. He said it was just his demeanor. And then he had an experience where he changed a job positioning because of his attitude and the way he was interacting with other people. And he was put into a different positioning that brought him into contact with a woman that they immediately had this connection. Have you ever had that happen to you where there's just this click? And it's like you've known that person all your life. Well, that's what happened with this lady. And what occurred is they developed a friendship that the communication was very open. Well, in the course of coming to know this woman in this working environment, he found out she had cancer. Now, interestingly enough, here he is with this attitude. And he didn't know why, but he offered to help her and offered to see her through these various experiences. And part of it, he said, was curiosity. He had never, ever been around anyone that had had a terminal illness. So this was an area of experience that he had no association with in any way, shape, or form. As it turned out, he had the privilege, and I say that word very thoughtfully because it was a privilege. The woman ended up giving this gentleman a very, very special gift. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. He ends up taking her to the hospital, helping her in her home, and he said within 4 weeks after he had started assisting her in these small ways, he said it was nothing that was really that big a deal, this lady dies. Now, he said, I'd never had death touch me in any way, shape, or form. So he said, here I am with all of these attitudes that I've carried. And most people would say I had a great deal of self-confidence. Well, I found out that she had left a will, and she had put in a request that she wanted to be cremated, number one, and then after that, she was requesting a huge party. Now, to his amazement, when he found out that he was to be one of the people at this gathering to help bring it all together, because she had stated that in her will, he attends this, and he finds over 400 people have turned up for this woman to recognize her, to honor her. The next thing he knows, he's being asked to give the eulogy. That blows him away. He's never given a eulogy in his life. He said, what do you do? I don't know. So he said, well, we don't know, but we just want you to talk about her. Well, he had known her from one level, but he said, okay, I'll use my linear self, and I'll go out and I'll question a lot of people that are here. Because this came up right at this big event that was going to be scheduled for this memorial service. He's right there on site for the event. All of these people are there. So he goes around before the service starts and is talking to all these different people, saying, how did she impact her life? What do you feel she gave you as a friend? And they all gave him information. So he said he goes, and at the time, when the time was appropriate, he delivered the eulogy using a lot of the information that was given to him. And he said he didn't feel anything about the eulogy. He didn't think it was an especially good eulogy. He honestly didn't know what to compare it to. So what happened is that when he's finished, after the total service, memorial service is over, and people are getting ready to move on down to an area of beach where the barbecue was being held. This was an event down in California. He said people were coming up to him and said, oh, that's so meaningful. And he said he just couldn't understand it. He just didn't know why what he had said had been so significant. Well, then he's down on the beach. They're getting ready to serve the food. And someone comes in with all of these balloons. I mean, they had hundreds of them, hundreds of balloons. And they were going to release them into the sky to say bon voyage, goodbye, and to celebrate this woman's life. And they said, would you say a few words? And he said, there's just certain words came into his head, and so he just said them, and they released the balloons, and people just praised him. They said, this is wonderful. And he couldn't understand it. Well, as he's looking through all of the different things that are happening around him, it's sort of surreal. And then all of a sudden he realizes he better check his watch, because he had to work later that day. And he realized that he was 10 miles from where he worked, and he didn't have much time. He was going to have to leave the gathering and head on in to his daily job. So as he's leaving, he's talking to people as he goes, and he said he's just about at his car, and something makes him stop and turn around and look at this environment of beach and water, and he said there was this profound awareness of a presence. And he said the presence was so strong that it overpowered him, in the sense that it made him aware that he was to stay right where he was and to be cognizant and to be grateful. And he said what happened to him next was just a phenomenon he couldn't explain. He said he went down on his knees and he expressed gratitude. And he said there was this feeling that went throughout his whole body. He was just surrounded with it. And it was as if he released. He let go. No, there was no grief with this. This was a beginning of what he called an epiphany for him. This goes on And he finds himself having all of these different experiences. And he said he recognized then and there that he was being given a very special gift. Now, he said, here I was with my attitudes. I thought I knew it all. And he said there was this deep, deep awareness that there was a lot more going on in life than what I expected. And then there came the experience later on where the woman who passed on that had been his friend came to him and actually appeared before him and gave him information and communication. He said, never in a million years did I ever expect to be given this opportunity. And he said, I find that so frequently where I would make fun of people or I would put people down, I thought that I had all the logical answers. And he said, I realized I really didn't have too many answers. Now, this is one side of self-confidence that often people see. But so often, our self-confidence is eroded away on subliminal levels. Napoleon Hill, who was one of my mentors, and I say it, I never had the privilege of knowing the man personally, but he left a magnificent legacy behind him. He's the great-great-great-grandfather, I think, of every motivational speaker that has ever come after him. His wisdom was profound because he took 20 years of his life to ask questions, to talk to people, to listen, to find out what enabled them to be successful. He found success was, well, what anybody felt in a moment that was success in their definition, what it meant to them. But in dealing with the essence of self-confidence, Napoleon Hill found that a lot of people, and I found this to be the case in my interactions with the many, many tens of thousands of people that I've interacted with personally, and gee, with the millions that I've talked with over the years through media. So often, we have a mask that we put on, and we wear this mask because it's what we think we're supposed to do. And deep down, there are some components that sort of eat away, as just almost like the way corrosion and rust eat away at metal. And it's not real fast, it's just something very subtle. And before we know it, we may see ourselves failing and we don't know why. We may go through some experiences and we'll say, gee whiz, I just wasn't lucky enough, or this wasn't done right and it's somebody else's fault. But you know, our minds are the most highly organized form of energy known to man. And I'm quoting Napoleon Hill when I say that. Our thoughts are the most highly organized form of energy known to man. If you don't believe that, watch your thoughts in a day. Watch how, and you can test yourself on this, watch how you can be sitting with someone and start calling them stupid in your mind, and all of a sudden you're not paying attention to what they're saying at all. You're not hearing them, you're not listening to them, because you've already determined they're stupid. Now, you could reverse that thought and say, I may have a genius sitting in front of me. I better listen. And that could turn things around. Thought is power. Without it, action never takes place. Because everything is initiated from a thought. Now, that was something that, when I was taught that, I had to do some real serious thinking about it. Because that wasn't something I had been taught as I was growing up. But it's true. What are some of the fears that eat away at our self-confidence? Underneath the masks sometimes we wear, and I use the term masks in the plural because we change them depending on what role we may be portraying. Well, there seems to be about six that are base: poverty, old age, criticism, loss of love, ill health, and death. If you're ever in a group and you just keep those six components in mind, you'll find that most conversations will go about that. They will be around that environment. People will be talking about ill health. Gee whiz, did you hear about so-and-so, this and us and that, so, and they died, or they've been incapacitated, or this has happened, that has happened. It's very frequent in conversation, isn't it? Money. Look at what's in the news today. We're going to have a problem. Real estate market is in the toilet. We've got this going on. Boy, watch out, folks. Heavy recession coming. Depression. They get on a rampage, don't they? Now, look at any of those things, and if there is an underlying fear, it many times will eat away at your self-confidence. I know it happened to me, and it's happened so many times in my life, until I became consciously aware of it, and then I made a decision of what I was going to do with it. When you interview people like I have, from all walks of life, whether they're CEOs of companies and they're worth gazillions of dollars, or they're the top model in the world, or they're the genius of 42nd Street or whatever street they come from, it doesn't make any difference. They're still just people. And we all have to deal with these issues at one time or another. People have a fear of death. They do everything they can. They say, oh, I'm going to stop it. Let's face it, the chassis wear out. So you're not going to be staying in this world for the next 10,000 years. Not the same chassis you've got at this time. So what do we do with this? If we become consciously aware of how we undermine ourselves because of these subliminal fears, like someone that maybe has wanted to make a change in their life with a career, and they haven't done it because, oh, well, I might not be able to feed my family. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Let me share a personal story with you. This is about 30 years ago, and I was dating my husband, yes, who's been married for 31 years. What happened was at the time we were dating, I was involved in psychic fairs down in California because that's where I was living. And as a single mom, I was always, you know, balancing the budget. Any of those of you that are listening, you know what this is like. Gee whiz, you can't do this because you got to take care of that with the kids, so on and so forth. You always put everything else first. Well, I was an executive secretary at the time. And when we were dating, my husband asked me, then the boyfriend, if you could do anything you wanted to do, what would it be? My first response, without a moment's hesitation, was my psychic work. I absolutely love it. I enjoy the people. I enjoy the speaking. I enjoy everything about it. No question about what I loved. He said, why don't you do it? And I said, you've got to be out of your mind. Why in the world am I going to do something like that, for heaven's sake? Everybody I know that's involved in the work has miserable relationships with people. They're all broke. They have all kinds of problems in this level, that level, and I was going on and on. So he let me finish, and he said, that doesn't have to be with you. You don't have to go through that. You don't have to experience that. And I just looked at him, and it was like something had hit me in the head with a 2x4. He said, if you do really what you want to do, and you've heard this said on my program many times by different guests, do what you love to do, and the money will follow. They have different ways of expressing it, but basically that's what they're saying. So I looked at him. He said, what have you got to lose? I said, not a thing. So what I did, I sat down, worked out a financial arrangement, and I said, I need XYZ dollars for 1 month. I knew I could go back to work at any time. I wasn't concerned about that. But I said, I just need to prove this. A month later, I left my job because I had saved enough money that would allow me to have 1 month down. If I needed to shop for another job, I could. Because I really wasn't happy with what I was doing. Not that there was anything wrong with the people at my job or anything else. It was just me. It was all inside of me. I was ready for change. Within 1 month, after investing in an answering machine, plugging it into my phone, it was like somebody had turned on the universe and said, Donna is now available full time. I doubled my income in 1 month. And I've been an entrepreneur ever since. Self-confidence comes when you can let go of fear. I did not have clarity on what I really wanted to do. Once I established that clarity and had integrity with myself, the dam gates opened, and the waters of opportunity came flooding through. I share that with you because there isn't a person walking on this planet that doesn't go through the doubting Thomas moments. And I came across, when I was thinking about doing the show today and talking about this, some of the comments that Napoleon had. And his book, The Law of Success, I just think is one of the best investments anybody can ever make in a book. And I would encourage any of you listening to check a secondhand bookstore. And I know you're all web savvy, so you'd go on there and you'd check things out. But in his book, he said one of the tragedies that he had observed in his research is that people would drive themselves in working without thinking about their wellness. They were so concerned about not having enough when they reached a certain age that they ignored what they needed to do for themselves physically. And they would push and push and push. And they would lose sight of, one, living the moment, but two, understanding how to go through the preparation of what needed to be done. He also talked about people who would be perhaps born into a family that was poor, tough times, and the attitude of the parents, this is just the way it is, life is always going to be this way, it's a dog-eat-dog world, you can never have it. And he said he'd meet these people that believed so firmly in what had been taught to them, and they were terrified of changing their thinking patterns, because if they did, guess what would happen? They wouldn't be able to stay in the same mental suit. They'd have to acknowledge the shift and the change, and they were afraid to do that. So they submitted to other people's opinions and attitudes, and consequently went through their lives feeling like they were always denied something. Have you ever known anybody like that? Ever known anybody? Have you ever been like that? Heck, I have. I can remember losing a tremendous job opportunity when I was in my late teens because of being told by someone, and I wanted to be sure I pleased everybody in the world. I wanted to make sure I did everything right. And what I did wasn't right. It wasn't right for me. It was by somebody else's standard. And I had a job opportunity that was looking me in the face, and they said, we want you to come in and start here right now, as soon as you can. We need you. And my friend said, oh, well, you can't do that. I said, oh, well, when you're naive, what are you going to do? How do you think this through? So I look back on those experiences, and I look back on many of the experiences that Napoleon Hill went through, and oh, so many other people. You hear about them every day here on the show. You can use the elements of fear, either in a positive way where it motivates you, or you can use it in a very self-destructive way. Just like every coin has two sides, so does fear. It actually has more sides than that. But it's sort of like a sword. How are you going to manipulate it? How are you going to utilize it? Are you going to use it against yourself, where you cut yourself all up? Are you going to use it in a way and manner that enables you to defend what it is you really want in your life? Use it as leverage for yourself to motivate you forward so you can be true to who you are? Look at what is going on in the world today. Look at all of the things that are happening. You have those people that are so fearful, they're ready to go to war, they are ready to do anything, do or die, this is the way it is, and they're rah-rah-rahing it out there. And there are other people that will say, let's look at some options here. Let's see what other things we can work with. And I think as long as this earth is here, we're always going to have these contradictions, if you will. We must remember, though, two or three dedicated people with clarity can change the world. And I mean that. two or three people can change the world. Good, bad, or indifferent, it can be changed. And so, where is your basis of fear? How is it going to support the level of self-confidence you want, or is it going to undermine your self-confidence? What are you going to do with the life that you have, this wonderful gift that you've been given? I don't care whether you're a janitor, CEO, a king, a pope, a dog catcher, it doesn't make any difference. You are very significant in this scheme of life, and it is up to you to recognize that you've been given gifts and talents, that you have the special opportunity to experience, to be able to share. And you may, just like the gentleman I talked about earlier in the conversation I had with him this morning, you may have an epiphany of some kind that makes you realize that in the overall scope of things, you're sort of like a itsy-bitsy, tiny, tiny, tiny cell in the whole universe. But as that little tiny cell, you can have a big impact. You can create a ripple that is going to affect so much in life. There's a movie called Pass It On, and I recommend it. I don't recall the names of the actors or actresses in it, but the movie Pass It On is worth watching. It's about a little boy and the lesson that he gave to other people. Passing it on is important. We're all going to pass on something, but wouldn't it be nice to pass on substance? Wouldn't it be nice to pass on a clarity, an understanding of how we can make our lives represent the highest and best of whatever we're capable of doing? I think that's an exciting challenge to pose to any of us. Your confidence, how you feel about yourself, doesn't mean that you're arrogant. It doesn't mean you're obnoxious. It doesn't mean you're a twit of any kind. It means that whoever you are has such a solidarity about it that you are your integrity, you are your essence, you are living you all the time without any hypocrisy. And it's a journey. And it's been such a joy today to interact with people who have been sharing with me. I feel so privileged people do this, that they share with me the journeys they've gone through to make this discovery. And I'd just like to leave the gift of thought with you, that you are, as an individual, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances may be, your personal story is one that will make a difference to someone else if you have integrity with yourself and you honor yourself, giving the highest and the best that you can at all times. God don't make no junk. I love that cartoon. This is Donna Siebel, and I know we're going to be taking a break shortly. When I come back, I've got some medical information I wanted to share with you, but hey, the telephone lines are open. Here's the telephone numbers to write down. USA 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line for anyone else. 530-530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Last thought, remember, self-confidence, it develops when it's used. But if it's not used, it's a little bit like dust. It'll settle in, but it won't demonstrate itself at all. It's like any other skill. You use it, and it works. This is Donna Siebel. We're taking a break. Don't you go away now. We'll be right back with more good things.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the Richard G. Petty ND.com. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Oh, excuse me, Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. I wanted to let you know about who is going to be on the air with me tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Julia Molden, the brand new radicals. These are people who are going to be moving forward with new concepts and ideas, making changes right here, right now, today. So she's going to be on with me. Also, we're going to be talking next week about how to stay healthy, live longer, spend wisely. This is a Dr. Lou that we're going to be talking with, and he is a physician who's very concerned about healthcare costs, and he has some marvelous suggestions about how we can deal with that. Also, we're going to be, for those of you that are cat lovers, Carolyn Bartz, The Secrets of Cat Attitude Revealed. This is a lady who has a passion for those wonderful creatures, and we're going to be learning a lot about them. Facing the lion, being the lion. I've been talking about self-confidence, self-esteem. Mark Nepo is going to be addressing that in a different way. Then, to a distant day, we're going to be talking with Chris Gaynor, and then All Rise, Richard Fuller, who is going to be giving us insights as to how we can recognize our own skills and talents. A wonderful lineup of people, and we're going to be able to share them with you right here every day on the Donna Sebo Show. So I invite you to join me. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Samuel Coleridge wrote once, "What if you slept, and what if in your sleep you dreamed? And what if in your dream you went to heaven and there plucked a strange and beautiful flower? And what if when you awoke you had the flower in your hand? Ah, what then?" Wonderful thought. And these are some points of information that were sent to me by Cheryl, and I want to thank her for doing that. She also sent me some information that I thought was really great. It's trivia, really. It's every day more money is printed for Monopoly than the U.S. Treasury. And the state with the highest number of people that walk to work is Alaska. I would have thought it was New York, but it's Alaska. And that Africa is 26% wilderness and North America is 38%. And did you know that Coca-Cola originally was green? And that men see better than women typically and women hear better than men. And interesting trivia. And there's also one other thing that she said that I thought was very, very good, and this was, she sent it to me from Norman Vincent Peale. She said, "No matter how dark things seem to be or actually are, raise your sights and see the possibilities. Always see them, for they are always there, and I want to thank Cheryl for sending me that information. By the way, if you have a special story or something that you would like to share with me, then just send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And it may take a while for me to get back to you, but if I'm able to use the material on air, I will be happy to do that. I wanted to share with you also something about a new type of surgical procedure. With technology today, so many advancements are being made, and a lot of people are not aware of some of the latest state of the art. I became aware of stereotactic radiosurgery. Let me say that again, stereotactic radiosurgery. And Jan Botterman, who is a nurse, knew that there was something wrong with her. She knew there was something wrong inside her head, and she said, I was sitting down, and I had this awful, awful dizzy spell. Now, she has been a nurse for over 22 years, and she said, I knew my body was giving me these signals, and I had these horrible headaches. And she said, finally, she went in to see her physician, and he referred her to a neurosurgeon. And she ended up discovering that she had meningioma. It's a tumor that grows along the protective membranes of the brain and was pressing up against her skull. They needed to treat it. It wasn't cancerous, but they knew it was expanding, and they knew they had to do something with it right away. Now, there was a traditional invasive surgery or the stereotactic radiosurgery. Now, what they say about the stereotactic radiosurgery, and you might want to just keep this in mind if you know of someone that perhaps could be made aware of this, it could assist them. It's not a surgery, really. It's a form of radiation therapy that uses a 3D computer imaging to attack tumors and lesions with an extremely precise dose of radiation. Now, they're able to deliver the radiation to the tumor site extremely accurately. It can target a tumor with a much lower risk to surrounding healthy tissue. They're also able to use it to treat tumors that would otherwise be inoperable because of where they are located in the body. Now, it doesn't remove the tumors, but they find what it does, it disrupts the tumor cells so that they stop growing. And today, they're typically using it to treat tumors in the brain and other parts of the body when they know traditional surgery is not an option, or if they performed the surgery, it would be so invasive, it would be dangerous. So for this nurse, it was the right thing for her to do, and she described what she went through. She said, I was awake and alert the whole time. It's like lying on an X-ray table. The machine is behind you. It comes around on an arm and rotates around you. And it took about 30 minutes from start to finish. And she said, you don't have any discomfort with it whatsoever. And they are watching her closely because it seemingly has stopped the tumor from expanding and growing. And there is also a technology called the gamma knife technology. And it's considered a radiosurgery technology. Now, they feel that these linear accelerators have the arm that can travel around the patient's body to deliver radiation beams from different angles. It uses a larger X-ray beam, which enables it to treat larger tumors more uniformly and with less repositioning. And it allows the radiation oncologist to treat tumors throughout a patient's entire body rather than just those that might be in the brain. It was about 15 years ago, I watched a Swedish doctor in an interview on television, and he had developed a treatment to treat women with breast cancer. And he was very clear. He said it depends on the type of breast cancer the woman has, but he was using X-rays in a particular way that targeted just the tumor itself. And when I read this article, I thought, this is really interesting. Because here I had watched this 15 years ago by this Swedish doctor, and at the time he was interviewed, it was on a program called Beyond 2000 on television. They said, how long do you think it will be before this will be available to women? Because the cure rate on what he was doing, just targeting the tumors by themselves, and there was no invasive surgery at all, was phenomenal. He said, it's probably going to take about 50 years before this is going to be available to the public, because it takes about that long for changes to occur in medicine. Well, I think someone has latched on to a similar concept, and this may be a moving curve forward in being able to treat certain conditions that otherwise would have been very invasive. But now with these different techniques that are being made available, they are probably going to be able to help a lot of individuals, saving them from that horrific experience, especially women with breast cancer. But there's all kinds of conditions that if you get right to the cellular level, you're going to be able to make a difference. And people's recuperation capacity will be just amazingly quick, and you will not damage healthy tissue. You'll get right to that core issue, whatever it might be, and nuke it right where it is. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. It's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Or our direct line of 530-876-3222. We often pay more attention to personalities. We see them on television. We hear them on radio. We read their books. Those people that are in the forefront of the news frequently. Well, acting is often an arena that people enter into because they want to have a lot of recognition. Well, Marcia Gay Harden is an Academy Award-winning actress. And she said back in 1982, when she had started out, she was still waiting to get her Screen Actors Guild union card. And she said, oh, I just really, really wanted more than anything else to be able to go to New York. She said there was a quality about being an actress, being able to be involved in that wonderful industry that made me feel like I was in touch with something big and mysterious and very, very meaningful. But she said, whenever I did a role, I felt like there was something very special. This was my calling. This is really what I wanted to do. Well, she said, I had to work as a waitress to support myself. There's a lot of people in the movie industry that have done the very, very same thing. And she said, I was really in a terrific mood this one day because I had made good money. There had been a real intense business at the restaurant I was working in. And I was in a particular show. And she said, we were just packing the house every night. And, oh, I was just so feeling so good about myself. And she said, Oliver Stone was coming to town to do a casting call for a movie, Born on the 4th of July. And it was about a paralyzed Vietnam War veteran, Ron Kovic. And she said, the call was just for crowd scene extras, but I didn't care. I figured he'd notice me, pull me out of the lineup, and I would have my big break. Well, I was in this real high mood, and two women happened to come into the restaurant and sat down at a table in my section. And when I came over to serve them, they said to me, oh, we recognize you. We saw you in the show that you were doing last week, and we'd like to offer you a job. Well, guess what? As an upcoming actress, she was just so thrilled. She said, yes. And they said, well, it's not going to be exactly what you think, but that didn't make any difference to her. She said, well, tell me what the part is. And both the women said to her, Snow White. Well, Snow White, that's a cool role. Where's the production? One of the women said, Georgetown University Hospital. We're from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. We're going to be taking a break here for just a moment, and I'll finish Marcia's story. And Marcia won an Oscar in 2001, but the rest of her story, Well, Marcia Gay Harden is quite a gal. And we'll tell you more about that when we come back from break. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Don't go away.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Siebel on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel. I'm going to continue the story of Marcia Gay Harden, a very famous actress, Oscar winner. Again, this is when she was right at the beginning of her career, where these women are talking to her in the restaurant where she is waitressing. There's a 7-year-old girl named Bonnie. They tell her who's dying of pediatric cancer, and she doesn't have much more than a month to live, and Snow White is her favorite movie. And our foundation, she said, grants wishes to terminally ill children, and Bonnie's wish is to meet Snow White. Well, they said they would be, she would said, I'm going to be available for you on that day. And she said, 2 days later, these ladies call me. She said, oh boy, it is not fair. This is not fair. The casting date call was the same date as the request for her to appear at the Georgetown University Hospital for this little girl, Bonnie. So she said, is there any way we can make it tomorrow instead of today? And the gal said, nope. Bonnie's going down fast, so she's running out of time, and we need to have you come over today. Well, she had to make a decision. She said success had to be priority number one, and they could get another Snow White, so she was going to call them up and cancel the hospital job. But she couldn't shake that this wasn't the right thing for her to do. So she said, I have to call the casting office. So she called them and said, I regret I'm not able to come out. I can't get back out of this. I've got to do this job that I had committed to. So she got into the costume. She went and watched the Disney movie, Snow White, so she could really get thoroughly into the character. She said she could rattle off the names of all the 7 dwarfs without a hitch. But she said she got so emotional the more she thought about it. So she gets into her costume that day of the performance that she was supposed to make at the Georgetown University Hospital. And she said it was late, traffic was awful trying to get there, and no matter what I did, it wasn't working out right in time. However, she managed to get to the hospital, and she was taken to the room where young Bonnie was, her sister, and Bonnie's mom. And they greeted her so warmly, and she handed Marcia a bag with a Barbie and some other toys in it. She said, if you don't mind, I thought it'd be nice if Snow White gave Bonnie some presents. She's having a bad day, but she's looking forward to this so much. By golly, she stepped into that room, and it was like stepping into another world. She said, this is something that I was meant to do. And Bonnie looked at her when she saw her, just absolutely got so excited, and she said, Snow White. And by golly, Marcia said, something happened inside of her. She became Snow White, and she just started getting into the role of Snow White thoroughly, and they talked about Grumpy and Sneezy and Doc. And then Bonnie started asking her questions. She said, when I die, will the prince kiss me and then I'll wake up again? She said to her, no, Bonnie, it's even better, because when you go to heaven, God will kiss you, and then you'll wake up again. She said, the acting that I was doing was coming from my heart. And she said, I had a feeling that I had never gotten ever before. She said, I was exactly where I was meant to be, playing exactly the role I was meant to play. And little Bonnie passed away a week later. And she said, this little girl taught me that acting is about connecting, not about union cards and red carpets and ambition. She said, eventually I got my SAG card and moved up to New York City and went through some more years of acting classes, waitressing, living in crummy apartments, and all the rest of the stuff. And she said, eventually it happened. I got my big break. Two upstart young brothers, directors Joel and Ethan Coen, cast me in their movie Miller's Crossing, and I was on my way. And in 2001, Marcia received her Academy Award for her work as the painter Jackson Pollock's wife, Lee Krasner, in Ed Harris's film Pollock. She also has done a film, Into the Wild, with Chris McCandless. She said, I've done so many wonderful roles in so many wonderful movies. And she said, roles that while I was playing them made me know I was where I was meant to be. For all that struggle and uncertainty was for a reason. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And I thought her story was a good one to share because she learned. And sometimes life brings us all of these experiences and we wonder where they're going. We wonder why we're having them. We wonder what's going on, why we have to go through certain experiences. But usually it's so that we can be prepared to do something bigger and better than maybe we could have ever imagined in our wildest dreams. Life is about living. Life is about experiencing. Life is about sharing. Life is about falling down on your face and learning how to get up and stand tall. Life is about overcoming obstacles. Life is about tears sometimes. Life is about laughter and joy. But all of it comes together in a wonderful, wonderful composite. And just coming full circle, if you can understand again that fears can be used as something to motivate you, new experiences can be intimidating, but you're up to it. It's part of who you are. You're stretching yourself every time you go into a brand new direction. You're trying something different. It might not turn out to be exactly the way you want it to be, but if you keep your eyes, ears, and all of your senses open and receptive, you may find that you are going to grow as a human being in ways that you never, ever envisioned possible. I've never met a successful person that hasn't gone through their own dark nights of the soul, as they're so often described, because without them, you can't recognize the brightness and clarity of the light of opportunity when it does shine on you. You might end up putting on what I'd call your blinder sunglasses, and you never recognize it. So living life with an understanding that you really are in control of what you think, how you feel, and how you respond to things, it can make such a tremendous, tremendous difference. Quick like a bunny, items on some free things that maybe you never thought about. But, you know, there are free plants, flowers, and trees. For those of you that are gardeners, you're going to be able to get your pick for just the low cost of shipping and handling, $7.95 per unit of plants or trees. Here is a website you can go to, freetreesandplants.com. This is all about a nonprofit organization that rescues greenery that's been discarded by nurseries to make room for new stock. Also, check with your local nursery. Sometimes they have things they've got to get rid of, and they might be happy just to give it away. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's been delightful sharing this hour with you. Have a fabulous day, and don't forget, tomorrow we're going to talk about the new radicals. Ah, yes, they're out there. They're waiting. They're ready, and they're busy. This is Donna Sebo. Have a fabulous day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.